We all love mob movies. Scarface, The Godfather, the list goes on and on. But there's one movie that speaks to me above all others. Donnie Brasco starring Johnny Depp. In season one of Deep Cover, we discovered the real story behind Donnie's time undercover with the New York Mafia and what it was like spending 6 years with some of the wildest wise guys you'll ever come across. I'm your host, Leo Rossi, and I've spent my life behind and in front of the cameras creating stories about the mob. This season, we're going even deeper into the Donnie Brasco story. We'll learn more about the man behind the persona, Joe Pistone, and his time as the most decorated undercover agent in FBI history.
This week on the season two finale of Deep Cover, the real Donnie Brasco, we do things a little bit differently. We bring back a fan favorite and ask Joe and Leo questions that you, the listeners, submitted to us on social media.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Deep Cover. I do not have nearly the voice that Leo Rossi has, but I am hosting today. My name is Maddie Stout, executive producer of the show and president of Jam Street Media. We like to do this. We did this at the end of last season, and we've gotten lots of questions from fans, and I wanted to throw those questions out to you. How are you, gentlemen?
Joe's doing fine. Donnie Brasco, doing great.
Leo is here, and I'm glad to relinquish the host duties for a show. Very good. Although Joe hosted one too. So that's good. It's good. I can rest my vocal cords. Good. It's all good.
That's not going to happen, Leo. We all know that's not going to happen. I'm going to pull the curtain back a little bit. Every week we do these recording sessions, and they usually involve the first 5 minutes of Leo frantically asking for his wife, Lynn, to run over and touch his computer, because evidently the computer is made of molten lava, and if he touches it, his fingers will burn off. And meanwhile, Joe is usually all set to go. But I want to talk to you about that, your women and your lives and how important they are. And especially, you know, Joe, over you know, through your career and, you know, and then now, you know, could each one of you just kind of speak to how important those ladies have been to you?
Well, family, you know, family is important to everybody. I mean, that's what it's all about. When you're in a law enforcement business, you have to have a solid family. I mean, they have to be behind you because, you know, I know it's a cliche, but when you do go out every day, you don't know if you're coming back, and especially in today's crazy times. And when you're in the undercover field, you may not get home for, you know, days, weeks, months at a time. And if you don't have the backing of your family, whatever it may be, your partner, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever, it makes the job a hell of a lot harder. Because in the undercover business and in law enforcement in general, you have to have a pretty clear mind once you hit the streets. If you're worrying about, you know, your family not backing you or problems, your mind's not going to be clear and you're not going to be thinking clear out there. So I was lucky. I had good family, good home life, and it worked out for me.
You know that I know your family, and you guys are like a fist all together and all for one. No matter where you are, you know, no matter where anybody is, I know in my case that with my daughters and now the son-in-laws and the grandkids, it's really my wife who is the glue. You know, I should call her Elmer's, you know, because she's the one that organizes things, and I show up, you know. And when I was on the road a lot with movies, she was there with the kids. I always tried to bring them to the set, you know, for a week, 2 weeks, whatever. But then they turn to a certain age. They don't want to come. They've already been there, done that, and they have their own friends, you know. My wife and I have come a long way from when I took her out, met her at a party, and actually I saw her in a stage play, took her to a party, and I said, I'd like to take you to dinner. I'll never forget, I took her to Martoni's in Hollywood, and she sat, you know, we sat down, and she said, you know, We did have an Italian in my school. Did she just say that? I could look 30 blocks either way, you know, and all I saw was Italians, right?
Leo, did she say Italian?
Italian. It was right in between there, Joe, yes. And then I said, listen, I said, look, that's good to know. I said, now this restaurant, they have it in Italian, a lot of the things. And if you're confused, just ask me. And I knew the waiters and everything. So she's looking at the menu and she goes, what are Gnocchis? Oh, no, Gnocchis. Gnocchis, Gnocchis. But that's the way it looks, right? G-N-O-C-C-H-I, you know. But, it's tough. I mean, look, Joe's is extremely tough because what he says is gospel. They don't know if they're coming back. Me, maybe I could get fired. Big deal, you know? It's a different thing, but we get along great. Maggie, his wife, Lynn, my wife, and the two of us, and we, you know, we've traveled, and it's cool. It's great.
So speaking of food, Jay from Indy, actually on Twitter today, tweeted to me that he was listening to last October's cast when we did this, when I interviewed you guys, and he's cooking prosciutto and said it's the first time, but he thinks that it'll be a little more palatable than Mr. Pistone's. Go ahead. Tell everybody that it was John Gotti Jr.'s. Speaking of Italians, we've got quite a few folks who have asked us questions. Angela Fidelli on Instagram, she says, loving the podcast. Joe, during your time undercover as Donnie, did you or the guys visit anyone in jail from the family or group? And do these criminals continue to be supported by the mob while they're in there? Also, do any of the earners do time occasionally to cover for a capo or a maid guy?
No, we never visited anybody in the can. I mean, I didn't, but designated guys were designated to visit the boss, Rusty Roselli, when he was in the can. And you know, they're supposed to take care of somebody's family if they are in the can. Does that always happen? It all depends on who your capo is. If you got a good capo, then he'll take care of your family. If you have a capo that's not a great guy, he won't take care of your family because he doesn't want to, you know, part with the money. So it all depends on who your capo is if one of the crew is in the can.
On the induction ceremony, you weren't inducted yet, you were proposed, but does it say anything about, you know, if you go, you get incarcerated, that the family will take, or that's not mentioned in the induction?
No, that's not mentioned. I mean, the ceremony that I was told, that was never mentioned, huh? But it's I guess an unwritten rule that they're supposed to take care of your family. Again, it all depends on who your capo is.
You know, they had a great line, Paul Servino in Goodfellas. It's when he gives Ray Liotta, he gives him a big wad of cash, and he says, like, I don't know you anymore. That's it. Because, you know, they were afraid he was going to rat and everything like that. And he just said, here, now take this. And I don't know exactly, but it was something like, yeah, I don't know you anymore. You're out.
Yeah, they put him on the shelf.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Anybody in the Bonanas that you were there put on the shelf? Any Bonanos?
No, they just killed them.
Okay. All right.
They put them on a shelf. They whacked them.
I love it.
Okay, I've seen this question a couple times from, it's from Darren Livermore. He asked this on Facebook. Did Lefty actually get a lion?
Yeah, we actually did have a lion. We had it started out as a cub. It wasn't given to him the way it was in the movie, but we did have a lion. We got it as a cub. We kept it in the social club, and would feed it. And then somebody ratted us out that we had a lion in the club. And what they forgot was cubs become big lions. One of the guys had an empty warehouse, so we brought it and we put it in the warehouse, and which, you know, would go feed it. But yeah, we did have a lion.
All right, I got the headline. I got the headline of the New York Post. A big sit down in the Bonanno family. Three soldiers eaten.
Did you all feed it hamburgers? Did you ever feed it hamburgers, though?
No, it, steaks. I fed it steaks.
Oh, okay. Speaking of movies, Leo, question for you from Billy in Detroit. What was your first time on camera? What was your very first role?
My very first speaking role, right? Yeah, it was... it was in Dog Day Afternoon, and they actually cut it out. I said it was in, but yeah, it's true. I got my SAG card from it. It was Dog Day Afternoon. I played a cop, you know, a street cop and everything. And it was with Charles Durning and Chris Sarandon. And we were in the barbershop across from the bank where Al Pacino's holed up with John Cazale and everybody. And I wrote to say, I said, he's outside, right? And I come in and I say, he's inside. And they look at me like, what the hell is he doing? And then Sidney Lumet was the director. He said, we've got to make a decision here.
Is he in or out?
Is it inside?
That sounds like a very Leo thing to happen, to be honest with you.
It got you your SAG card, though, Leo.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Yeah.
That's all I counted. Yeah.
Joe, speaking of movies again, this one's from Gloria. She was wondering, what was it like the first time you sat down and saw the movie Donnie Brasco? Not, you know, I know you were on set, but what was it like when you sat and watched the finished movie? I mean, what were you... pleased? Were you like, well, I don't know about that? Or, you know, what did you think?
Well, actually, the first time I saw it, I was with Johnny Depp. We had a preview of it before it was released. And, you know, it was like, first of all, man, I can't believe they're making a movie about what I did. That was the first thing. And then actually, I kind of welled up. I got some tears in my eyes. And Leo, I do once in a while shed a tear.
Okay.
Especially on the family scenes, you know. So it was very, very touching seeing yourself being portrayed there on the screen. And, you know, I mean, there were some scenes that I didn't like. And for the young lady that wrote in, if you saw the movie, the scene where I slapped my wife never happened. That was not in the script. That was put in by the director. So that never happened. But yeah, it's an experience. I mean, you know, it really got to me, be honest with you. Yeah. Yeah.
It was extremely well done. And you know, for all the listeners out there, it's a miracle when a good movie from a good script with a good director, good actors, and a studio backing it, you know, gets what they say in the can. And it's not Joe's in the can, like with the Bonannos, but, and the audience appreciates it like that. You know, I come from the stage, and man, you can hit a performance. You can own a character like I did the Rose Tattoo. And I toured with it, playing Mangiacavallo, eat a horse, right? And then when I was finished that role, it was poop in the ether, was out in the air. Nobody remembers it. I mean, my kids can't see it. It's just in the moment. That's what stage is. And in movies, TV, movies, they go on. They just watched a movie called I Did It, Heart Like a Wheel, with Bo Bridges, Bobby Bedelia, and it was drag racing. And I come on, and I was young, and you know, I was pretty buff, okay? Buff, that's what I was. And I come on with the t-shirt and everything, and my granddaughter says, "Who's that?" And she said, she's just turned six. And they said, "That's Poppy." She said, "That's not my Poppy." No. She said, "Look at his hair. Look at his hair." "Well, no, he put the thing on it." "No, no, Poppy's bigger than him." Gee, you know, but that's what I deal with the family. Nobody ever made a movie about in my life. And that's got to be a hell of a lot different, man.
As they say in the business, you know, it has legs because, I mean, it plays all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And when it's on, I don't sit and watch it from beginning to end. That's how it grabs me.
Yeah.
You know, I'll watch it. I'll turn something else on. I'll go back to it. So it's still, you know, it still has an effect on me, even, you know, 20 years later that they made it. Yeah.
And it will have an effect on your grandchildren when they really kick into a certain state of mind and go, "Wow.
Yeah.
My grandpa did that. Wow."
Yeah.
You know,
I was lucky enough to be in the movie Cars, and just having my nieces and nephews, like, they watch that movie constantly and, you know, they know my lines and they get all excited. Yeah. And I always tell people, like, it doesn't matter anything else I do in my career. That's it. Like, at least I know that movie will get watched forever. And that's Donnie Brasco is definitely, it's one of those movies that I'm not alone, that I do when it's on and I'm flipping, it stays on. I just, you know I can watch it and be comfortable. All right. So another question.
Well, hold on, Matty. There is a double-edged sword. There are movies that I've done that I pray to God my kids could never see. Ever.
What movies? What movies, Leo?
I did one. And listen to the title. Well, they paid me well. It's called The Misery Brothers. And believe me, I was in total misery. In that film, I had to wrestle Rowdy Roddy Piper. I had to get in the ring and wrestle Rowdy Roddy Piper. And my wife and kids were there. And she said, he's going to get, because he told the stuntman, "Get away." The stunt coordinator, "Get away. You're a big guy. Come on, I'll tell you how to do it." And, you know, I had to run toward him, and he's on the ground, and he puts his foot up into my gut, and then he flips me, and I go down. He said, "And then you'll land." And I said, "Where is he going to hit me? Here, there?" And I was trying to get real scientific. He goes, "Yeah." And we did it, right? Coming, and I put the foot, he put the foot up. I flew, and I'm in the air. And I said, "This son of a bitch didn't tell me how to land." Because there's a way to land, you know? And I land with my head bucking, boom, bam. I saw stars. And, you know, he got a kick out of it. And I know what you're going to ask me. What does he have under the kilt? Rowdy Roddy Piper. I ain't saying.
I was not going to ask you that.
But, yeah.
That's maybe a good time for us to pause and hear about Manscaped from somebody.
Oh. Deep Cover will be right back after this short message. And we're back with Deep Cover.
Speaking of pulling the curtain behind, I would like to talk about, that was a rather funny incident between the three of us when we first got the ad for Manscaped. We both got a text from Joe who did not believe it was true. It was really a product. And Leo, you did a fantastic job with that. I'm sure. And we appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it was. Well, you know, I have the t-shirt and on the back of it, you know, it says something like, you know, keep your balls clean, or I don't know exactly. I have the t-shirt in there, and I was jogging with it, and I'm jogging and jogging, and all of a sudden everybody's looking at me, and, you know, well, they're reading the thing. Keep your balls clean. Okay. Well,
I think they might have been looking at you for many reasons. Hey, here's one from Instagram, Sam Sotosante. Mr. Pistone, what was it like the night and you were arrested in Florida? I think he's speaking in the movie. So let's first of all ask, did that really happen? Did you get arrested in Florida?
Yeah, we had a casino night going, and we had the club all rigged up, you know, with slot machines, dice tables, blackjack tables, and we had paid off a somebody in the sheriff's office. Because it was, you know, it was illegal gambling. And for some reason, I think the guy took our money, but he didn't protect us. The sheriff's department shows up and we let him in after we had cleaned all the money off the tables. And we had an old slot machine, an old one-armed bandit. Nobody ever used it. It was just there for decoration. And one of the deputies puts a nickel, you know, it was an old, old one. And pulls the arm, and what do you think happens? He wins about 50 cents. Well, that's gambling. So they come in, they busted up the joint, and everybody got arrested. We all got out the next day.
The follow-up to that is, did you give them the name Donnie Brasco, and did you have records or an ID so that you didn't get found out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you go under your undercover name. You don't when you get arrested in undercover, you don't give anything up. You take the arrest in your undercover name, and you have a number that, you know, of a lawyer that you call. And in that case, we had Santo Traficante's lawyer, and that's who we called, and he got us out of the can the next day. But yeah, you get arrested, you go under your undercover name, and you take the arrest.
Joe, that had to legitimize you with them even more, because they know that they check everything. Oh, you know, and you went with flying colors, came through for Sonny and the boys. That must have not that they were suspicious of you, but that
but it put a kind of dent in our operation with Santo. It set us back a couple weeks, but it all worked out.
G Wowza from Twitter asked a question, and I wanted to know about this too. In season one of our podcast, you know, Tony Mira is a big character. Why was he not a character in the movie Donnie Brasco?
You know, I can't answer that question.
Do you think he should have been?
There's a lot of things that, in my opinion, should have been played up more. The marriage between that I engineered between the Bonanos and Milwaukee, the family in Milwaukee, the marriage I was able to engineer between the Bonanos and Santo Traficante. But, none of that was really played up in the movie. They had Traficante, you know, a little bit. But when I questioned why some things were left out, it was, look, you know, you got 6 years that we're trying to get into 2 hours. And, you know, I mean, you know, the writer's decision. How we can make it flow for 2 hours and make it coherent. Yeah.
Well, Joe had a funny incident on Falcone, which he was a producer on and I was an actor on. And everybody had very high hopes for it. Bobby Maresco was one of the writers, and the other writer was Kenny Solars, right? And at the end of the eighth episode, which was what the booking was, eight episodes, right? But everybody thought it was going to come back. Unfortunately, it didn't. But there was a Spanish actor. I at least was a man because I saw that I got killed in the eighth episode. So I knew this Spanish actor, I can't remember his name. He was very well respected. He didn't take it well.
He was after me every day. Joe, please don't let them kill me. Don't let them kill me. He was a hell of an actor. I mean, I don't want to mention his name, but he's a hell of an actor. He was a great guy. He was a great guy.
And to say how crazy things can get, and Joe was on the set. Joe was always on the set. But the guy that shoots me, right, his name, I don't know, whatever Sonny Marinelli's name was, right?
Boots,
right? Okay.
Suits.
Oh, so Suits. Okay. So he says, now I see the ads coming, and I go, no, Sonny. I said his real name.
Yeah.
And they shot, the blood went all over everywhere. And I was distraught. I was so upset. I said, because I see him looking at me and he's pulling it. And but they covered it in sound, right,
Joe? They looped it, right?
Yeah. They didn't cost you too much money, you know.
Another question from Instagram. This is from STG923. Very nice handle there. I have a question I would do anything to have Joe talk about or comment on if he has knowledge about it. It has to do around the same time that he was undercover, the FBI agents with Whitey Bulger. Did the New York families ever talk about Whitey and his presence?
No, they never talked about Whitey Bulger. I don't even think anybody in my crew knew who Whitey Bulger was, to be honest with you. No, huh?
Another folk, someone that is asking you about is Tyler Wilk wants to know, what are your thoughts on Lucky Luciano? And did you ever have any encounters with Fat Tony Salerno or Vincent the Chin?
No, I never had any interaction with those guys. I had interaction with guys in the families, but not with those guys. You know, when you're just a street soldier, you don't get to interact with bosses of other families normally. And I mean, I got to interact with Frank Balestrieri, the boss of Milwaukee, and Santo Traficani, the boss of Florida, only because of my closeness with Sonny Black Napolitano, who was my captain in the Bonanno family. But no, I never interacted with those two guys.
This is a question for Leo from Alex. Leo, if I could watch you in one thing, what should I go and watch tonight?
Oh, okay. And Joe, it's a favorite of Joe's too. I wrote it. I co-wrote it and I produced it and starred in it. It's called We're Talking Serious Money.
It's money.
Yep. We're Talking Serious Money. And it's on YouTube. You can put that in. It's Dennis Farina, Fran Drescher, and myself. It's about two wannabe wise guys who could not screw up more. And, It's pretty funny. Yeah, even though
it's a great movie. It is.
Thank you. It's funny. Yeah. And I mean, I have lines in there that, like, I don't know where we come up with this, but Fran Drescher wants her boyfriend, Dennis Farina, to get a real job, you know, and he went for a civil service exam. And I'm in the restaurant waiting for them and they come. And she said he did very well. He did very well on the exam. And they told him what he was suited for. I said, yeah. Well, Sal, what were you suited for? And he just looks down at the menu. He ignores me. And she said he was for a postman. Yes, he was qualified for a postman. And I go, oh yeah, a postman. Yeah. What else? Dog catcher? And he blows up. You know? and then the last, one of the other lines that is my favorite line, I just this since you opened Pandora's box. I have the money that we stole, but the bad guys have him. So the negotiation is I got to give back the money, which I'm sitting on, you know, on a toilet in a room, you know, just sitting with that money in front of me. And they call because I was supposed to have a call. And I said, all right, listen, put Sal on the phone. And he gets on and he says, I said, how you doing? And you all right? Did they do anything? No. He said, no, I'm all right. I'm all right, Charlie. I'm all right. And he says, yeah. He said, Charlie, I did want to tell you something. Charlie, I love you. And I take a pause and I say, Sal, would you mind if I didn't say I love you back right now? Because I'm sitting with $1 million and he's pulling the love card. But yeah, it's on YouTube. We're Talking Serious Money.
Okay, we got a couple more of these from the fans. G Wowza wants to know, he says, Joe Pistone is my hero. I have all of his books. I have a question for him, please. What was his first meeting with Bill Bonanno like when doing The Good Guys? Was anything else said that was dodgy, suspicious, etc.? Must have been a little awkward.
Yeah.
I don't know the story. Tell us the story.
Bill and I had the same literary agent, and they come up with an idea to, you know, for Bill and I to do a book together. It basically was, it's a novel, but there's a lot of truth in it. So we met at the agent's office in New York City, and, you know, after the introductions, and it's like, well, who, you know, who talks first? What do you say? Because, you know, he's the son of, he's a Bonanno. And that's the family I infiltrated was Bonanno's. Of course, Bill had been straight for years. He went to jail, got out of jail, and moved out to out to the West. So he wasn't involved in anything that I was doing. But then we got along pretty good because he had said to me, you had a good name out there on the street. You were respected because of the way you carried yourself. You didn't make anybody do anything that they that they wouldn't have done anyway, being mobsters. So we got along pretty good. We had, you know, several other meetings, went to dinner, not much discussion about his dad or anything, but discussion about the, you know, the state of the mafia during that time, which he didn't have a, you know, he wasn't too high on either, the way they were conducting themselves, the young guys. We actually became, you know, friendly. And he was out of it. And hey, you know, he went to jail. I don't know how many years he did. So to me, he did the crime. He did the time. He had kids. He was married. So it turned out to be a very comfortable relationship once we got to know each other.
With Bill Bonanno and his father, when his father was either kidnapped or went on the lam, everybody thought he was dead. But it turns out he wasn't. Didn't Bill like have to go to a payphone every night, or you know, at a certain time, and his father would call in or something? Yeah. It was really a disciplined situation.
He was kind of running the family at the time, and you know, it's conjectured: was his father kidnapped, or did he just go on the lam? My opinion is, I think he went on the lam.
It got too hot.
Things were getting hot for him. And then when he did come back, from what I understand, is that, you know, that the commission told him, look, you know, you got to relinquish your position. Otherwise, you're going to get whacked. So that's when he relinquished his position as boss and went out west.
Could I just ask Joe this? With
who's hosting this thing, Leo?
But now he's curious. Hey, I'm curious. He brought up stuff.
I'm teasing, bro.
He actually put a contract out. Carlo Gambino and who else? Another boss.
Yeah. Well, that's why things got hot for him.
Boy, I'm surprised they gave him a chance to.
Well, don't forget he was one of the originators of everything, Leo.
Yeah, he was.
You know, I mean, he goes way back. He was one of the originators of splitting up territories in the country to the mob families, to the commission. I mean, he was, you know, he was a powerful guy.
And he always kept with Sicilians, right? He kept in with the Sicilians too.
Yeah exactly. Hmm. Yeah. Hey, Matty, I know you had, I'd like to say one thing. You had mentioned, you had gotten an email from somebody that, wanted me to send a congratulation to their parents for, I think it was a wedding anniversary. And if the Baumans are listening,
yes,
congratulations on your wedding anniversary. I think it's kind of late. I think it was probably a few weeks ago, but if I think the gentleman's name was Jay, wasn't it? If he's listening, pass that on to your parents. Congratulations, and I hope they have many more.
I will send that along, and I think maybe the next time that we do this, I will go through the list of odd things that I have been asked. We get some fun requests, and we do get back to everybody.
If that gentleman's listening, you know, he can hear the next. He can hear the podcast. Congratulations to his parents. So
there we go. I'll send it to him. Wait a minute, for sure.
All right. Now, Matty, come on. I have a thick skin. I'm in show business 40 years plus. Somebody Instagrammed in or whatever they did and said, Leo has such a big mouth. What did he say? That sometimes we can't hear Joe. Was that what it was? I mean, come on, you told me.
No, that's I keep a whole nother file of people complaining about how loud you are, Leo. So that's Yeah, I don't share everything, guys. You know, I gotta, you know. I think that's a good place for us to trail off. I do want to know, I want to end on food, because it's one thing that three of us Italian boys like to do is eat. What are we cooking this week, guys? Anything good you want to share?
I think tomorrow I'm going to make some raviolis and red sauce.
Do you make your own pasta?
Yeah. Leo?
No. I told you I was a cook in the army. I can only cook for 400. I am. That's what I tell my wife. Yeah. But it is my birthday Saturday, and we're going to a restaurant in San Diego on the Balboa Park called
Where are you going?
Prado. Supposed to be a very, very good restaurant and everything. So we'll see.
How far are you from San Diego?
I can get there in 50 minutes. Yeah.
Wow. That's not bad.
Not bad. Maddie, terrific. You puckered us up. Good.
Okay. Good. Yes. Because this is my routine every Wednesday. We record, and then I immediately go into the kitchen and cook for my wife because she doesn't cook. So
what are you making?
I'm doing some sautéed pork chops, some roasted cauliflower, and I do a little special thing with beans.
Well, I got to run out to the barn and feed my horses. So
yes, well, I'm going to go watch the Dodgers and Padres. See you, kids.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you in season 3.
Bye bye.
God bless.
Thanks to our producer Monique Nethington, sound designer Casey Franco, music and voiceover by me, Camille Stennis, and executive producers Maddie Stout, Rudy Solo, and MBB Media for putting this episode together. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for more Deep Cover updates, plus exclusive photos and content.